People say, how do you know God touched you? Because I became hungry that day. I became thirsty that day. From that time onwards, I used to go to meetings, you know, and if there were books being sold, I bought books about the Bible. If there were in those times tapes, I bought tapes about the, you know, whatever the guy was preaching and things like that, you know. Every time there was an altar call, it didn't matter what the preacher said. If the preacher said, you committed adultery, you murdered, I raised my hand up and I ran to the front because it didn't really matter. I just wanted somebody to lay hands on me, to pray, to say something or whatever it was, because there was a hunger inside of me. I didn't want to be the preacher, but I was hungry to know God. Something began to stir up inside of me. And so from age 12 to age 17, I read over 500 books about the Bible. It was all here, nothing here. I would have missed heaven by 17 inches. And what I mean by that is, I knew a lot about God. I just did not know God. I knew a lot. There are a lot of people in universities teaching religion who know more Bible than Christian people do. But they have never met Jesus. I knew a lot. But I praise God on June 21, 1997. I was with a friend of mine. We were in Chicago. He had some work. He asked me to go along with him. It was a Saturday morning on June 21, 1997. It was a hotel called Best Western. It was room number 132. He had gone to get best breakfast. I took shower and I came out of the shower. And as I came out of the shower, suddenly Jesus appeared to me. Not in a dream, not in a vision, not some kind of picture, but just like you're seeing me and I'm seeing you. And three things happened that day. One of the things that happened that day is, he said to me, Nikki, if you would lay down your life, I will pick it up and I will send you to the nations of the world to preach the gospel of faith, of hope and love. Now, please understand, by the time I was 14 years old, I had started a computer business. I used to build computers and sell computers. And for a, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-old kid, you're making $3,000-$4,000 a month. You don't have a mortgage payment. You don't have an insurance payment. You don't, you know, like that. You feel like you're a millionaire, you know. And God said, lay everything down, and I'm going to send you to the nations of the world. Something happened that day. And I always tell people, you know, it doesn't matter how big of an encounter you have with God, you always have a but. Like, God, you do this, but if you will take care of this, take care of this. You know, our mind goes into wordplay of all the things that need to be sorted out, you know. But that day I made a commitment. I said, Lord, I will. And that began a journey in my life, because I was this Indian person, moved from India, staying in America, got an accent, got a 17-year-old person, you know, don't know what to do. You know, you say, I'll send you to the nations of the world. I said, what does that mean? And then so I started working, saving money, because I believe that if God is going to direct you, then you need to get moving. And so you can't steer a parked car, right? And so I saved money. I said, you know what? I am just going to go. Where are you going to go? I don't know. I think England, they speak English, because I read my Bible in English. So I said, maybe England speaks English or Europe speaks English. I had no clue to the world, because it's not like today, you know, you have internet and you get all this information. Back in those days, there's nothing, you know. And so I saved up some money, bought a ticket. For 30 days, I went. I took a flight and went to London. Why? Because I thought, hey, they speak English, right? Who called you? Nobody. What are you going to do? Preach the gospel. To who? I don't know. Every person I meet. Which church called you? Nobody. Do you know anybody? I don't know anybody. And then so I went to England. And While I was in England, I began to realize in those times, for $300, if you're under 25 years old, you could buy a Eurorail pass. And what that is for 30 days, for a youth fair, you could for $300 buy a pass where you could go all over Europe, you know. And so I said, I don't have enough money to stay for 30 days in a hotel, but I can get on this rail and then plan it out that all my night journeys are in a train, so I don't have to have a hotel. And I got a backpacker's card where you could go to like a YMCA, pay five of those times shillings, but pay £5 and eat breakfast, you know. And so I said, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. And so I printed these small business cards. And in the business cards, I wrote these words, you know, if you want God to heal you, if you want God to do something in your life, I can pray for you. And I've left a blank line. And I would go in the train and I would go and hand out my business card to everybody, because every train was different. So I would write down my seat number 32A or 44B or whatever it is, and just go hand it out to people. And whoever wanted prayer, they could just come and get me in my seat. And some people were very nice. Some people will, you know, they'll say, yeah, you know, can you pray for this? Some people, they chewed you out and cursed you out. And, you know, some people, they say, well, I don't know about this God business, but my aunt has some Bible study in her home or this or that. And so I spent one whole summer going to almost about 20-some countries, sometimes sleeping on the train station, sometimes somebody's couch, sometimes for a whole 2 weeks, nothing happened. Not one person I could talk to, nothing. But something began to take heart and root in my life. Because I felt like, you know what, I said, you know, God has something that He wants me to do. I don't know what that is, but guess what? I'm going to keep moving the direction that He has for my life. And I remember I was 20 years old and when I was 20 years old, because one of the things that happened when I was 17 years old, I said to God, God, if this is real, if you really want me to go to the nations of the world, right, send me to all the five continents to preach. I didn't know there were seven continents. I thought there was only five. And so I said, send me to all the five continents, right? And so when I was 20 years old, right, when I was 20 years old, I've been to about 22 countries, and I said to God, God, it's September 13th, I just turned 20, you got 1 year. And in 1 year, if I don't go to all the five continents, guess what? I can fall back on my computer loving things that I like to do in my business, and you know, I can do some ministry sometimes here and there, you know. I said that because one of the things that the Lord said to me is, Nikki, I've called you. I don't want you to ask for money. I don't want you to ever take a salary. I don't want you to do this. And I'm like, how in the world am I going to survive? And I remember it was about January time, and somebody called me up. And they said to me, Nikki, are you free Wednesday night? I said, sure. Can you come and preach? There is this women's group. They need a speaker. Would you go speak? I said, sure. You know, in that time, I said yes to anything and everything. Didn't need to pray. It was an opportunity to preach. Sure, I went. What they did not tell me was it was this women's group. And the youngest woman was like 8 years old. What did they did not tell me that it was like one of those senior assisted living homes. What they did not tell me that there were 16 ladies there and 14 of them were in a wheelchair. What they did not tell, I mean, they did not tell me all these things. And here I am, a 20-year-old kid, going to this clubhouse in this assisted living place and standing there and all these 14 wheelchairs around, two ladies, all above in a certain age, and they're just smiling. And I'm like thinking, do they understand me or not? But I always realize, doesn't matter what, I'm just going to do what I do and move out of the way. And so I preached that night. Everybody smiled and was very nice to me. And you know, I preached and I ended and I gave an altar call. And I gave an altar call and I said, if you want me to pray for anything, and nobody responded. And I'm like thinking, you are in a wheelchair. Like you got something, you know, you like, I mean, of course I didn't say this, I was thinking this inside, you know. And so when altar call's not going well, you know, we know how to extend it, you know. You know, well, I feel this, and I sense this, and this could, nothing happened, and nothing happened. And nobody got prayed for that night. Nobody. And you know, of course, I hugged everybody, all this grandmother, they kissed me left and right, this, you're very good, blah, 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 this, and said all kinds of nice stuff. And I walked out the door, sat in my car, and drove all the way back home, and I thought, wow, this is like the worst day of my life. Like, why would I ever do this? Monday morning, I get a call. There's this guy on the phone. He said, hey, is this Nikki? I said, yes. He said, hey, do you have a minute? Can I talk to you? I said, sure. He says, you changed my life. I said, I changed your life? He says, yes. He says, I've been listening to you 10 times already. I'm like, wow, can you send me the tape so I can listen? He said, I said, who are you? Well, I'm from this particular state. I said, I've never been there. He says, I know, but last week you went to this assisted living place where my mother is. And she had one of those tape recorders, you know, those small, like those mini cassettes ones, and she recorded your whole message. And next day she overnighted the message to me and told me I should listen to it. And so I listened to it. Matter of fact, the whole weekend I listened to it 10 times and you've changed my life. I said, oh, okay. Thank you so much. He says, listen, I just wanted to call you because God spoke to me. God spoke to me that you are called to go to the nations of the world to preach the, and he repeated the exact phrase. He says, you're called to the nations of the world to preach the gospel of faith, of hope, and of love. I said, well, thank you so much. He said, not only that, God told me to tell you, go anywhere in the world, fly anywhere you want to, stay anywhere you want to stay, send me the bill, I'll pay for it. I thought, sorry, can you say that again? He said, go anywhere in the world for this next 1 year. Stay anywhere you want to. Like, fly anywhere you want, and I'll pay the bill. And I thought, oh my goodness. I said, I'm very skeptical, right? Like, are you sure? He says, yes. And I'm only saying this for this purpose tonight, and this is not part of what I wanted to say, but I'm only saying this to tell you this, that before I was 21 years old, God sent me to all the five continents to preach the gospel. And today in over some 92 countries we've been, and I have planted a lot of churches and stuff like that. But I say this to only say this, that there are many people here tonight, and I see a lot of young people here tonight. I want to say to you that if there is something that God has said, if there is something that God has planted, God is ever so faithful to watch over His word to perform it. God is no man's debtor. God said something, He will watch over it and bring it to pass. For the last several years, if there's anything upon my heart, what's upon my heart is an hunger for a visitation of God. Because I was 12 years old when first time God touched me. I was 17 years old when God touched me again. I wonder what will happen if He touches me again tonight. The reason you're here, what you're doing, is because sometime in your life God touched you. That's why you're here tonight. But what would happen with the rest of your life if God touched you again? Am I making sense? And I pray tonight with just a few thoughts that I want to share. I pray that the visitation of God, like the psalmist writes, will preserve your life. I pray that the visitation of God will happen to you in such a way that you'll look back and you'll say, you know what? God opened up something new and fresh that day. And so I believe that's why I'm here tonight. Because I believe it doesn't matter who you are, what's happened in your life, I believe that God wants to visit you in a very personal, in a very deep, and in a very intimate way in your life. Am I making sense? And so I want to just share a few thoughts regarding that. In the Bible, it says something like this. It says, "And the Lord visited Sarah. And the Lord visited Abram. And the Lord visited Israel." Psalm 65 says, "And the Lord visits the earth." The Bible says in Luke chapter number 19, verse 41 to 44, it says this, "You have missed your time of visitation." And so all throughout the Bible, we have this whole concept of God visiting man, God visiting the earth. Now, the English language is a very boring language. It has no description at all. If you say, "I love pizza, I love my wife," it has no sense of like expression. Like I hope you have a little bit more emotion for your wife than pizza. Like we can say, you know what, wow, those shoes are amazing. God is amazing. I hope you have a little bit more passion for God than shoes. You understand what I'm trying to say? And then so when the Bible was written in the Old Testament, it was written in the Hebrew language, New Testament, the Greek, and some parts in Arabic. And when the Bible was written and in these languages, we go back to those languages because those languages are languages of description. They say something where the English language misses out. Matter of fact, in America, they don't speak English, they speak American. That means every 20 years, your words change. At one time, it meant something. Today, it means completely different. When we came to America 30 years ago, wow, it was very confusing for us. Because if you wanted to say something good, you had to, "It's bad." Like "Those shoes are bad." And I'm like, "No, they're not." Like Michael Jackson came out with a song, "I'm bad. Why you want to listen to me?" And we got confused, you know, because in English language, they kept changing words to adapt to the culture. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say, right? We say stuff which we have no clue to, right? We have no clue to. For example, we used to sing back in the day songs like, I stand in awe of you. If some of you remember that song back in the day. Awe means respect. Awe means honor. Awe means like something of dignity, right? And if the whole room is full of it, you would say, "Awful." Right? What does awful mean? It is full of awe. But its English language went bad, right? We no longer consult the dictionary, we consult how it's used in our expression, right? We say, "That's just awful." We mean something bad, but actually it's supposed to mean something good. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? It's like the word incredible, right? We use the word called credit, right? When if you have a good credit, you can get a car, a house, like credible. If somebody is a person who says what, who does what he says, we would say, you know what, that person is credible. Now, if that person says one thing and does another thing, we put another preposition in front of it called in. Incredible. That means it's unbelievable. Cannot trust. And then we say stupid things like, "God is incredible." like unbelievable. No wonder you have a hard time following God. I understand what I'm trying to say. And so sometimes our languages, right, it puts the wrong emotions in it. And so sometimes you have to go in and then look at them. So when the Bible says, "And the Lord visited Sarah, and the Lord visited Israel," like Joseph prayed something like this. Joseph said in Genesis chapter number 50, verse 24 and 25, he says, "When I die,
the Lord will surely visit you.
And so those words are very important. But in the English language, it's just visitation. Right? But here's what I want to do for the next few moments. I want to paint you 5 simple pictures. Can I do that? This is good to keep in your mind. Why? Because if you're here tonight and you're hungering for God, and in your daily, you're wanting a visitation of God, then you've got to learn to recognize it. Because we say, we don't want visitation, we want habitation, but you can't have habitation without times of visitation. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter number 3, verse 19, repent, right? It says this, why? So that there can be times of refreshing can come to you from the presence of the Lord. Amen? And so it's times of visitation that prepare a place and prepare a people for habitation. Am I making sense to you? And so I want to paint 5 pictures. Why do I want to paint 5 pictures? Because in the Bible, there are 5 different words used for the word visitation. Right? In the olden days, doctors used to make house calls. Like the dog, when you are sick, you didn't have to go to a clinic. Doctors came home when you are sick, right? And we use the word visit, like doctor's visits, right? In the same way, in the Bible, for example, when you are a superintendent of something, like for in many denominations, the superintendent, he would go and visit the churches, right? Paul says, like, he'll go from this church and that church, he'll go and do what? He'll visit the churches, right? He didn't just show up, right? But there is some purpose in mind when he showed up. Right? And so people say things like this, we only want his presence, we want it. Yeah, but the presence is for a purpose. Right? It is for a purpose. And so in the Bible, it uses words like, in the Greek, there's a word called pakuda. Pakuda means like, hey, I have come. Right? Why? To put things in order. Right? Put things in order. We use the word called episcope, which simply means that, listen, I have come to give oversight, right? You have come to make sure that everything is going according to plan, right? And so there's a hunger inside, and we say, God, we want your presence, we want you, we want times of refreshing, but we've got to learn to recognize the visitation of God. Amen. And so, can I do that? Can I just paint 5 simple, they're very simple, you're going to miss it. They're just 5 simple pictures of what I call the visitation that we see. And I'm going to use words that you and me can identify with, right? When God comes, how do I? Because you don't want to be like Jacob, right? Jacob said, listen, the presence of the Lord was here and I didn't know it. Like we don't even have Jacob's disease, right? Like we want to be in the front and in the center of what is it that God is doing, and we want to respond to it. Amen. And so 5 simple pictures I want to paint to you of how God comes and why God comes. Okay, let me do that. Number one, God comes as a doctor and gives prescription. God comes as a doctor and gives prescription. You see, many times in our life, when we're going through a need, when we're going through a crisis, whether it's a marriage crisis, whether it's in our personal life, looking at our future, and we want an answer from God, we want something from the Lord, we want God to visit us and speak to us, right? Many times he comes like a doctor and gives prescription. For example, when you are sick and you take some medicine and things like you're not getting well, what do? You go to a doctor. And when you go to a doctor's visit, you are not expecting that you're going to walk out of the doctor's house completely healed. No, he's going to come, he's going to look at you, he's going to look at the things going on, and he's going to write you a prescription. And he's going, hey, take this 2 times a day for the next 7 days, and let's see where you are. Am I making sense to you? And so many times, the visitation of God, God comes as a doctor and he gives you prescription. Now, for those of us who grew up in a spirit-filled world, we don't like prescription.
Right.
We want a word from the Lord and that's it. It should change everything.
Come on.
And it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Come on.
Am I making sense to you? And so many times, God will come and give you a prescription. He'll say, hey, you want a marriage to be healed? This is the prescription. Do this for the next 30 days. I don't like that. I want you to pray. I fall down, I get up, and my marriage will be okay. Are you understanding? And God knows exactly to do what's needed. And usually, He talks to you about stuff that you don't want to hear. And you don't think it's applicable. Like for example, Naaman was a person in the Bible. Like he was the head, right? He was the commander, general. I mean, he was the guy that he always told people what to do. But his problem was, he wanted everybody to listen to him, but he won't listen to anybody. Do you know people like that? He's very good at giving orders, very bad at taking orders. So one little girl in the house told him, hey, listen, I know you're leprous, listen, go to Elisha. Like he'll talk to you, he'll pray for you, you'll be okay. He goes to Elisha. Elisha doesn't want to see him. He said, no need to see me, just go down to Lake Murray and then just dip 7 times, you'll be okay. What does Lake Murray have to do with my this? And why don't you want to see? Don't you know who I am? Is there any healing power in the lake? No. The problem was, he's very good at telling people what to do, but not good at receiving instructions. He has a different need, but God is going to the root of his life. Am I making sense to you? And so many times when a visitation of God comes, he begins to speak something, it does not make sense, but he speaks right at the root of what's becoming like an obstacle in your life to see other things coming to pass. Am I making sense? And so what does God do? He comes and he gives you a prescription. Guess what? We don't like prescriptions. Why? Because they deal with root issues. And what God is interested in is in longevity in our lives. And sometimes we are praying about stuff and he's answering other stuff which has nothing to what we are praying about. But listen, he's answering what's there in our root in our life. Am I making sense? And so the reason sometimes you can be in a meeting and one person is crying and falling down, the other person chewing gum, looking out the window, is because cannot recognize a visitation of God. They want it just like everybody. They want the glory of, people's expectation of the glory of God. They only want no one scripture. Glory of God means that nobody's going to be standing, everybody's on the floor. Why? Because that's what happened in one time in the Bible, in the Old Testament. But they don't want to receive instructions. Like, do this to fix your marriage. Do this to fix your children. And one of the problems that I have growing up in the Christian world and in the minister world, that, okay, you're talking about all this from the pulpit, but where is your family at? Where are the kids at? Then how come if this is so good, then it doesn't work in the house?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Am I making? And so I had a problem with it. And many times it's because we don't want to follow instructions that God is giving. He comes as a doctor. Why? Because he's interested in bringing wholeness in every area of our life. Amen? Number two. God comes, I'll use another picture that you know. God comes as a chiropractor. Now, some of us might not like chiropractor because of all the noises and stuff like that, but if you know anything about chiropractic, chiropractor began almost 120, 30 years ago with a man by the name of D.D. Palmer. He began the chiropractic work, and the reason he began the chiropractic work was because in his office one day, and he was just a researcher and all kinds of stuff, but he met a man who was actually the janitor, and the janitor was deaf in his ears. And as he began to write notes here and there to him, began to realize that this janitor who became deaf was not deaf all his life. Some accident took place, and from that accident, he hurt some things in his back, and he began to lose his hearing and became completely deaf. And so this man just had a thought. Like, you had an accident, broke some things in your back, you lost your hearing. I wonder if you can fix your back and your hearing would be okay. Like, he just had a simple thought, not like a word of knowledge or whatever. He just thought, you know, like, okay. And so he wrote to him back and forth and asked him, hey, can he work on him? And so for the next 2 months, he just began to do research, you know, tie him up, pull him up, do this, do that, this, that, and just practice left and right, here and there. And after 2 months, began to realize that all his bones felt back in place. And suddenly, this man had his hearing back. And that's how the chiropractic work began. Nikki, what are you trying to say? Every time people have this problem, I've had it many times. Why can I not hear God? God, why aren't you speaking to me? God, what do I want? What should I be doing in this? Like, why am I not hearing the voice of God? Well, I always tell people, you might not have a hearing problem. You might have a problem where something's are out of place in your life. Just like the chiropractor puts all the vertebrae, all the spine back in place, hearing comes. Many times what happens to people is there is things in their life that are out of place. They're not in a place of obedience. Am I making sense to you? And so what does God has to do? God has to come in like a chiropractor, do some adjustments to take the things that are out of sync in their life and put it back in place. And so my question to you tonight is this, that listen, are you in the place of obedience? Are there things that God has already said, are they in place? Because there are many people who want this and want that, but hey, listen, but what did God already say to you? Is it in place? Is it in place? And one of the things that happens with people is this, that when they don't know, I say this jokingly, but in my experience, like when people don't know what to do, they become evangelists or intercessors. And that's not to knock them off or anything, but it solves the guilt problem. Yeah. What is the guilt problem? Hey, everywhere I go, I'm telling people about Jesus. And that's what we were supposed to be doing. It solves it, but listen, it's not what you do. It's what did God tell you to do? Am I making sense? And so in every department, you go to a church, you want to make the church feel guilty? Talk about discipleship. Why? Because nobody knows what it is. We have no clue. Somebody comes with a brilliant plan, makes everybody feel bad. We feel bad, we feel good. Because we felt bad. And so now we have some way saying, God, do something, speak to us, give us strategy, give us a plan. And the question is not finding something to do. The question is, what is it God saying to you? Stick to that. Stick to that. Third picture I want to paint to you very quickly is this. That God comes in, number three. Number one, God comes as a doctor. Number two, God comes as a chiropractor. Number three, God comes as a building inspector. Is the word called episco. He comes in as a building inspector. For example, when we are building a building, of course, every city and every region in the world has a set of what they call building codes. Right? That means even if you buy land, even if it's your money, you can't build the building anyhow. You can't say like, hey, it's my house, my money, I can do what I want. And so I'm going to build a staircase. First step, 2 inches. Second step, 8 inches. It's my house, I can do what I want. Third step, 18 inches. If the building inspector comes, they're going to shut you down. Why? Because it's not according to code. Am I making sense to you? And so when a building inspector comes, he comes for a couple of different reasons. Number one, if you don't know what the code is, he will tell you what the code is. Number two, when something is out of code, he will tell you what needs to be fixed. Number three, he gives you some time and said, hey, according to this time frame, get it fixed. Number four, if everything is going good, he'll give you a stamp and say, You're doing a good job. And so many times, God comes as a building inspector. And he said, hey, I know you think you have a great marriage, but your marriage is only good according to your culture. It might be good, but according to my word, it's not good. Get it lined up. Hey, your kids, it might be good. At least they're doing better. Yeah, but according to my code, you need to line up your family. According to my code, you need to line up your business. If you don't know the code, he will come and tell you the code. He will tell you what areas to fix. And listen, if you come to a place, like many times what happens is you go to a meeting and a prophet comes, he prophesies to everybody, and you don't get a prophecy, be happy. Why? Everything is according to God. Praise God. Praise God. Like some people are worse than building inspectors. They want to go, please tell me something wrong. Please. Listen, it's everything. God, am I making sense to you? Many times God comes. There are so many times in my life God has come. And like, hey, Nikki, this is good, that is good. But the way you treat that person, it's not going to work. You need to fix your attitude. Hey, this is what you're doing, fix this. This is what you're entertaining, fix that. He comes. He comes in that manner. Am I making sense? Number four, God comes in divine intervention. When the Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah, the word for visited is the word called divine intervention. That means all natural things have failed. You need a supernatural intervention. And that's what happened for Sarah at that time. She had everything in the natural but could not have children. All hope in the natural was gone. Was gone completely. And so what does God do? God comes in the natural when there is barrenness and heals that barrenness supernaturally and turns it around. I want to say to you tonight that God comes in divine intervention. When all natural things have failed, God comes in divine intervention. And lastly, I'll just share this and I'll tell you two verses and then I'll pray. Number five, God comes as a investor. He comes as an investor. And God is not a foolish investor. Remember the story of the talents, right? To one he gave five, to another two, another one. And so many times, you know, visitation of God, God will come in, right? And he will invest something in your life. Maybe it's a gift, maybe it's an anointing for something special, right? He will invest something in your life for the season that you are in. In the natural, you cannot do it, but listen, by the Spirit of God, there is something that he invests. You know, when I was 13 to 14 years old, I began to study on the gifts of the Spirit and then things like that, and something opened up in my heart, in my life, and I had a visitation of God, and God began to open my eyes and then show me things. And until that time, I had never touched a computer before, right? But I looked at a computer, and when I looked at the computer, I could tell all what's inside of a computer without, it was like an X-ray vision, right? I could tell. And so I took a screwdriver, opened it up, I said, this is this. I took it up, went and bought parts and built a brand new computer because I knew what was in there, and then built another one. And I never touched a computer, never read a book, never went to school, never nothing. And I slowly started. God began to show me like how to build computers. And so almost every week I used to build one, two computers and sell those computers. And why? Because God came to invest something. Why? Because I needed money. I thought I was smart. I wasn't smart. God invested something so I could get money. So when I was going to this meeting, because I didn't get a chance to go to Bible school, so I could go and buy books. I could go and buy tapes and then things like that. And I began to realize that God invested something in me. Am I making sense to you, right? It happened for that period. After that period, today, I don't even know what's inside. It doesn't function, you know. But it came in for that season. I began to realize how it happened. He invests something. Am I making sense to you? He'll give you the wisdom for it. He'll give the direction for it. I said to God, God, when I was 21 years old, I said, Lord, this guy, he said he's going to pay for my trips one whole year. Now what I'm going to do? Like, I don't have money. Like, I don't have a mailing list. I don't have, like, something that I can tell people. Like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. They can sow. Because God told me not to tell anybody and not to send out this and not to send out that. And then so I didn't do. I said, but where in the world I'm going to get money? And then suddenly, as I began to speak and travel, I used to go. And you know, in those times when you're 20, 21 years old, like I preached so many places, I usually always stayed with a business person. Because whenever they would never put me in a hotel. And the only person that had extra room in the house was some business guy in the church. And so our meetings usually were on weekends. So what do you do Monday to Friday? And so Monday, I went with the business person to their work. What do you do? I have no clue. Because all we are trained to do is, as a pastor, we'll pray for you. But God began to drop wisdom. Right? And I said, hey, your business, what kind of business you have? Well, I'm in this business. I'm in, okay, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that, and maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that. And then suddenly Shell Corporation hired me, suddenly Citibank hired me, suddenly, you know, Chase MasterCard hired me, suddenly all this government began to hire me, and they would pay me. They'll pay me almost $15,000-$20,000 for 1 hour consultation.
Wow.
Nice. I would jump in and go all the way across to some country and then I'll go preach here, go preach there, go preach here, go preach there. Why? God was paying all the bills. Was I smart? I didn't go to college. I don't have any degree. I got no Bible school education. I got nothing. I have nothing. I got no degree anywhere. I went to Lexington High School and that's about it. But today, I sit on almost 17 different businesses and I counsel them. What am I saying? I am saying that if there is purpose, right? If there is purpose, then listen, God will come in as an investor and He will invest something. You have no clue to Him. You don't have to. What you have to do is to be obedient to God in what He puts in your life. Am I making sense to you? And guess what? He will come and check up on it. What are you doing? Right? There are most people, they're trying to get into church pulpits. They're trying to build websites and say, my ministry in so and so. Listen, don't put me in a box. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a prophet. I am Nikki Raibode. I'm called by God. All those things I do, that's just one of those things I do. I have more fun time. You know, I'll tell you this story very quickly. I was just called to DC about just before Christmas, right? One man in our United States, he's one of the economic developments of America. Like when the country goes down economically, the government calls him and asks him, hey, what should we do? He's there. I just had lunch with him. One of our friends wanted to meet. What do you talk about? I don't know. Like what? I didn't even know. I had to sign all these NDAs. Can't say this, can't say that. I'm sitting there having lunch. He said, why are we meeting? I said, I don't know. I said, who are you? He said, well, I do certain things here and there. I said, okay. He said, what do you do? I said, well, let me tell you what I do. I said, God called me, blah, 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 blah. And I just gave him my testimony. He says, well, thank you so much for it. He started being crying. He's like, you know, I am 59 years old. I've been to church. I became a Buddhist. I became this. I tried this religion, that religion. I went to church for a year and a half. He said, but nobody taught me the word and nobody taught me about Jesus. I said, oh. I said, can I pray for you? He said, sure. I prayed for him. 24 hours later, he calls. He says, listen, I want to receive Jesus. How can I do that?
Come on.
Amen. And he gave his heart to the Lord. What am I saying? All I am saying to you, that God can come even tonight and drop something in your spirit. It's an investment. And here's the verse I want to close on. Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6 verse 1. It says, In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Right? We all know the verse 6:1. It's a very interesting verse. Why? Because every other time in the Bible, it gives you dates. In the Hebrew calendar, it will tell you the month, it will tell you the day. For example, you know, it will say like on August 23rd, right? In 1923 this happened, or August, you know, or July 10th in 1960, you know, it's in the Bible, it does like that. Whether it's the month Aviv, whether it's the month Nisan, it'll tell you the 20th, it'll tell you numbers, right? But this time it's very interesting. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. Because in the Bible, death and visitation are synonymous. They trigger something. Right? And it says, in the year that the king died. Now, everybody, including people here tonight, every one of us, we have a one word about our life. Like it doesn't matter what you say about you. When people think about you, they have one word for you. Like when they remember, oh, he's always joyful. He's always very upset. He's always very angry. You know, stay away from him. Very grouchy all the time. So in the Bible, when you look at characters, we have one word for those characters. We will look at the Bible. You say one word for the. You know, if I say some names tonight, right? Like if I say, for example, David in the Bible, just say one thing. You know, you probably say giant killer. Some people say Bathsheba, but you know, it's giant killer, right? Like if I say Moses, they say, well, the guy who took us to the Red Sea. Noah, they'll say, well, the ark, right? But when you said Uzziah, everybody in that country, they say, what an arrogant fellow. Prideful guy. Because that's what Uzziah was known for. He was known for pride. He was most arrogant king. And the Bible says something like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, that's the year I saw the Lord. Let me rephrase that. In the year that pride died over our nation, I saw the Lord. What am I saying? In the year that we see pride die over the head of the church, in the earthen realm, right? In the year pride dies over the business. In the year pride dies over the family. In the year pride dies over our own, you will see the Lord high and lifted. It's what Joseph did. What did Joseph say in Genesis 50, 23, 24? Or 24, 25, sorry. He says, when I die, the Lord will surely visit you. What am I saying? I am saying something's got to die. And more importantly, something's got to die in us. In us. Something's got to die. To me, I'm 45 years old. But I only have one longing. And that longing is for a visitation of God. I'm not here to build churches, not here to preach around the world. All those things are useless to me. What is main is for a visitation of God. If there's anything that I feel in my heart, in my spirit, especially in 2025, we are living in a time that God is getting ready to visit this earth. I'm not talking about end time. I'm just talking about times of visitation are beginning from the presence of the Lord. And I'm saying to you, you know, I sent a thing out to my church today. You know, they're labeling, you know, this is Generation Z and Generation X and Generation Y and blah, blah, blah. one man stood up and said, you know what, this is an open generation, because this is the first time they did, just in the last 6 months, they researched, George Barna did research, they went from colleges after colleges, over 30,000 in each region of the United States they took, and they said that there are more young people open for Jesus than there's ever been. Why? Because the church has been praying. Why? Because the people have been praying. And see, this is not generation Z, X, Y. This is a generation that is hungry for God. Amen? Hungry for God. And so tonight, I just felt like sharing those thoughts with you tonight as we were driving over here, because I believe that something is there in this atmosphere. And I want to just take a few moments tonight. And I know there's some young people here. I just want to lay hands and pray for all the young people. Can I do that? Is that okay? Yeah? Hallelujah. And if any of you, I know, you sense it, more than happy. But is it okay if I ask all the young people just to kind of come forward? I just want to lay hands on you tonight and just pray for you and just bless you tonight. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ezra, right?
Yes, sir.
Ezra. Father, I just bless you and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I pray, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Is this your sister?
Sister.
And father. Okay. And your mother. Okay. Can I have you to come also? Yeah. Wow. I just, you know, tonight when I came in, I just felt like the Lord put this in my heart. I'm going to say to you as a whole family first, right, that the seed that God has planted in your family is not going to leave your family. It's like your family is starting a new generation, right? It's like you are the, in a sense, the patriarch, right, of a new generation. That means it's going to pass on to the children, and then they're their children and children. It's like you're starting a new generation. And everything that has happened in your family lines, on both sides, everything, whether it is, whatever it is, there's a lot of messes there. But it's like he's made a clean start, right? With both of his made a clean start. It's like a family that the Lord has cut aside, right? It's a family that the Lord has cut aside. And I just want to say to you, it's a clean start. And you're going to pass something to your children. The children are going to, and it's going to generation. And even as I said tonight, in my family, there are 40 pastors. And I want to say to you that God is pouring something fresh. Even when they get married, even like everybody that comes in, they're going to come in with a heart after God. And they're going to serve the Lord. They're going to serve the Lord. And God's going to do something amazing in this whole region with you guys. With you guys, you know, and I see you, all of you in the ministry. I see all of you traveling. I see like these houses of glory. Houses of glory planted everywhere. It's almost like you're going to have to get like a camper or something, you know, and go from one place to another place to another place, you know. And there'll be just a revival thing that you're carrying, okay? Revival thing that you're carrying. And so I just want to say to you also that you're not just to sing. You're not just to play. You're a young boy. But you're called to raise up a prophetic army. Okay. And I see you like a warrior. I see you like a person who is like a warrior, who's raising up other warriors. And God's going to give you some warfare songs. Like, this is going to be like fighting songs. This is going to be like taking territory songs. This is going to be songs that are just like in the area of warfare, and it'll be completely changed into something that's very intimate, like between a bride and a groom, you know. These both aspects, God's going to start giving you those things. And I just want to say that over you. And then, Father, I just bless her right now. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon her life. Thank you, Lord, for the creative abilities in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I call forth, I pray, O God, that whole artist to take shape and take form And not only that, even towards children, I see you not only like, you know, in today's day we are doing books and stuff like that, but the whole technology aspect for children, you're going to have all kinds of things put in. It's not going to be just like children books, because it's not, you're not trying to just minister to children, but to raise them up for godly things. And so I see God giving you stories. I see God giving you just like drama and artistic things to draw out and even to create. And you're going to become very savvy electronically. You'll become very savvy electronically, because as the Lord begins to download and invest things in your life, and you'll find some of the things that you do will go to the nations. We'll begin to go to the nations. As a matter of fact, there'll be a period coming that you're going to have to even leave the United States for some time. And it's going to go, and you're going to start planting works here and there. And I see you just being blessed, even with finances, blessed with these resources for you to go and plant works in different nations. And I'm going to just say this also, that some of the things that God gives you is going to be like patented, right? That they have to go and just kind of have it patented. Why? Because it's going to be used so much for the things of the kingdom of God. But tonight, I just want to say to you, as I'm laying my hands, the Lord is opening this whole realm of the seer gift inside of you. That you're going to start seeing dreams, and you're going to start seeing things in the spirit. And it's going to be so real that you can't tell whether it's some kind of dream or if it's happening real. And so the Lord is activating those things even now. Father, I just bless her right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon her life. I thank you for your grace upon her. In Jesus' name I pray, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that she's a great conduit. She's a great conduit of your presence and your power, I pray, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have also thank you, Lord. And I'm just going to lay hands on your hands right now, because it's like, you know, you're putting on gloves. It's like the anointing of healing is going to come upon your hands. And I see these hands touching so many people, especially people who have just been almost like ruined and bruised and battered and hurt and wounded physically and all this kind. And you're going to lay hands and you're going to see healing take place from the outside to the inside. From physical healing to healing of hearts and woundedness, to the fact that they're not going to remember the abuse anymore. And there are so many people around you that there's so much abuse, even people who are abused sexually and things like that. And sometimes you feel helpless, like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, I don't know if this, like, sometimes it's like my brain doesn't even work, I don't know what to say. But I feel like even as you just lay hands, the healing power of God will begin to flow through your hands and bring healing to those that are around you. And even as I lay hands on you, the Lord is not only doing that through you, but He's doing that in you also. He's making you a whole person. Every anxiety, we cancel it in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus. Father, I just bless him. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness in his life. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing in his life. Thank you, Lord. As I lay my hands upon him, Lord, bless him, I pray. Let your Holy Spirit flood him. Flow through him, I pray. Touch him, I pray. Touch him, I pray. Touch him, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your name?
Georgia.
Georgia. Father, I just bless Georgia in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon her life. I thank you, Lord, for your grace that's administered to her. And Lord, today as I'm a layman, so I don't know what she needs, Lord, but you know what she needs. And so today as I release my hand, begin to activate began to activate the gifts and callings, began to activate anointings. Thank you. Georgie, you know, as I'm laying my hands, I just want to lay hands on your hands, and I just want to say to you that God has given you a creative ability. And I want to say to you that in the coming days, I see like God giving you ideas and concepts and strategies to create things, to create products and to create services. And I feel like I see you almost like in a business suit, you know, that the Lord will start giving you ideas so you can create business and create businesses. And I feel like that whole area of the marketplace, that whole area of the business world, the Lord will just start expanding, giving you favor. And many times you'll have these ideas where, you know what, I could make that. Oh, I could make this. Oh, I could make, I could do this. And it will turn into a business. And it will turn into businesses. And so it's almost like you won't, it'll be like, it'll be easy for you to do business. It'll be easy for you. People say you should do this and you should do that. No, I'm going to do this. And you'll have such a strong confidence in that area, because it will just come easily to you, because I feel like this is something that the Lord is also investing in you today. Investing. So Father, I just bless Georgia. I thank you, Lord, for who she is. Thank you, Lord, for what she carries. And I just release them. Father, I just bless her in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon her life. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you stir up a fresh fire, I pray, O God. That you stir up a fresh fire, I pray, O God. Stir up a fresh fire, I pray. Stir up a fresh fire, I pray, O God, in her heart, in her life, I pray, O God. Stir it up, I pray, O God, in a new, in a fresh way, I pray, O God. And make a deposit, I pray, O God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, as I lay my hands, I pray, O God, that you begin to stir. You know, Paul saying to them, stir up the gift of God. Lord, I pray that you begin to stir it up in our heart and release it. Release it. And visit her, I pray, O God. Visit her in this time, in this season of her life, I pray, O God. Come to her, I pray, O God. In a way, only she knows that it's you. Only that she knows, I pray, O God, that you know the deep things of her life, I pray, O God. And you can direct it, I pray, O God. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've given him a sharp mind. I thank you, Lord, that you've given him a sharp mind. And thank you, Lord. Lord, I just call forth courage. I just call forth courage. I thank you, God, that he's not called to blend in. He's called to stand out. I thank you, Lord, that he is a person who walks courageously. He doesn't fit in. He stands out. And Lord, I thank you that you have given him wisdom. And I pray to you, Lord, that the spirit of wisdom begin to get stirred up in him, I pray, God. Lord, I pray that you would visit him, even in the night seasons, even when he's lying on his bed, I pray, God, that you would begin to visit him, I pray, God. And so, dear Lord, I just lay hands, I pray, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Good to